Welcome to the Business As Usual podcast by Rightway, a podcast set up for business owners to help them navigate through this uncertain time. In today's conversation, we catch up with Rod McDonald. So who is Rod? Rod is the Managing Director of Fint, a consultancy firm based here in New Zealand that works with customers on process improvement, efficiency gains, and how technology can help them with this quest. Rod, before he set up Fint, was working in Abu Dhabi, where he worked at organizations like the New York University and also digital marketing agencies, where he worked directly with customers on these topics. If you want to find out more about Fint, just simply go to www.fint.co.nz. And in today's conversation, we cover a number of topics on where to start with process improvement, how you actually tools on how you can look at process improvement, and how technology can play its part. We also have a great conversation about how you maximize your staff output and get them focused on high value activities, which will help move your business forward. This is a great conversation to have at this time, as we are all working on how we can become more efficient in our businesses, also as our businesses are changing with the COVID-19 situation. Rod has also got an offer to all the listeners today that if post this podcast you want to connect with Rod, please, he's more than happy to offer a 20-minute consultation with all listeners who want to reach out to him, and I'll include all the links to Rod's contact details in the show notes. If you enjoy this podcast, please like it on the platform that you're listening to it, and also subscribe to our social media channels where we post all episodes of our podcast. Hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Rod, welcome to the podcast. Great to have you here today.
Thanks very much, Stuart. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Now, I've asked this question to all our guests over the sort of last 3 weeks, and we're obviously now in week three of lockdown, and I guess all in this, just for everyone who's listening, this is Thursday the 16th, so all this is before the announcement on what level three and level two might look like and when we're potentially moving there. So we're obviously in this environment, which is unique. And I've asked all people, Rod, like what's the experiences you've found by speaking to your customers through this time of how they're coping, and what are the challenges you're seeing from the world you're operating in?
Yeah, pretty varied, really, depending on the business and where they are. Obviously, there's probably three main things that most businesses are looking at the moment, which is kind of cost reduction and how their operating model adjusts to the current environment, and then also about de-risking their business for tomorrow, and they're sort of keeping in mind sort of viability of their supply chain and market and so on. What I normally help these businesses through is the operating model piece, and in that regard, we're really looking at making sure that they have continuity in the way that they can conduct business, whether it's working from home or something like that. Some businesses, as I say, have seen this as an opportunity to press on with projects they had in the pipeline anyway, and we're implementing software for those businesses, and others are looking at it as a chance to sit back and probably have a bit of a look and a think about what the future might hold.
And I think that's an interesting place to sort of talk about, Rod, because I think the one thing that COVID-19's presented with this lockdown is, we, apart from, you could argue, maybe the Christmas holidays, is we've never had a situation where businesses have been forced to shut the doors. We're all working from home. Obviously, there's essential services are mixed in that, who are operating in some ways 2 degrees as normal, but there is obviously this ability for people to actually pause and look at their business. So I guess your point there, in the sense that some people are going ahead with projects, and it's maybe because they're seeing that as ability to save funds and money long term and increase margin, or is it more because of the new world they're operating in?
The specific examples that I've got, they know that at some point this lockdown is going to lift and business will continue again. They've had specific bottlenecks in their businesses that have sort of been a thorn in their backside for a while, and they're saying, you know, this is a great opportunity. We've got 4 weeks down tools in their instance, and an opportunity to put in place some software so that when things do lift, they're able to have a better performing business from that point. So about trying to have a bit of improvement during the forced lockdown.
And I think, I guess that leads on next to, I guess, our next discussion point with, you use the word bottlenecks there. And I guess some of these things that for a lot of business owners have been maybe pushed to the side and just, hey, that's always the way we've done business and the process, how we've done business, is this lockdown has made people think about that and question that their processes. So I guess, Rod, a really good place to start is, How do people actually approach their operation process? What is the good place if people are thinking, hey, I've got to rethink about my business here, how do I get more efficient? Where do their thought process need to go around that?
Yeah, I think the first bit is obviously sort of seeing something and thinking potentially it's not right or it could be done better. And the next step is to talk with someone, and an accountant is a really good place to turn to, because they get to see so many different businesses and get really good insight into what constitutes, quite good operations. Mm. Our job is to come in and really help identify potentially improved ways of working. It's not rocket science what we do. It's just about being quite deliberate in the way that you address your operations. So say there's, your project management, you just have this gut feel that it could be done better, or you're not quite getting the data through that you would like to have in order to identify what is a good project for your business and what's potentially not. You obviously got financial data and things like that that you can access, but it might not tell you where exactly in the process of completing mm-hmm. the project that it's going wrong. So it's just what we use. It's really simple. It's a case of being deliberate and clear in considering the full end-to-end process of doing a job in this example. We use a couple of specific bits of terminology. They're everyday words, but we attribute specific meaning to them, which maybe some other instances they get glossed over. But when you talk about the process, it's about the series of steps that that really you're trying to be effective in what you're doing. So did it achieve the job that we set out to do? And then you're putting in place systems that are designed to achieve that process. And with systems, the desired outcome is efficiency. So people talk about process and systems as kind of interchangeable things, when actually we view them very much as two distinct things. So in the instance of a job, you might not have enough oversight of how a job is being performed. You want to make sure that every step of that process is pulled out, looked at, scrutinized, and ensure that you have the most effective workflow that you could put together. And then you potentially looking to implement systems, often software, technology, systems to be able to make that process more efficient. So a lot of people sort of view efficiency as potentially a bit of a dirty word, thinking that it means redundancy or something like that. And it's really, it doesn't have to be the case. And that's certainly not where we start. What we look at is, if you've laid out that process from end to end, have you removed the waste, and is it a really improved workflow? So that's how I would go about it as a mindset. So, and we literally would just use post-it notes to pull out that process so that people are able to, like I say, be very deliberate and very clear in what each of those steps are to get a job done.
Yeah, because I guess, Rod, there's kind of two ways to, a couple of ways, I think, to think about process and efficiency, because I guess there's obviously the human interaction with process and obviously employees and how what they do makes the business more efficient or creates value and that sort of stuff. But there's obviously certain businesses which have capital, where it's machinery, tools, systems, whatever it is that they need to also maximize. So I guess one of the kind of points you talk about there is efficiency is not a dirty word in the sense of redundancy. It's how we maximize the output from the resources that we have in our business. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, exactly. It's business can be as simple or as complex as we want it to be. But as you say, at the end of the day, we've got a number of assets and we leverage those for an outcome. And how we leverage them is our operating model. And in times like this, there's possibly been some change forced on us, and it's a case of working through the new reality to be able to leverage the assets we have at our disposal.
When you, I guess a bit of a tangent here, Rob, but when you're meeting with customers, and this is not necessarily COVID-19 related, but what are the common preconceived ideas people have about their business before reviewing their process? What are the, are there many aha moments, should we say, that are kind of common themes when people actually sit back and kind of review how they're doing things, how they're maximizing value out of assets, whatever it might be? But is there common themes that kind of come out there which really challenge business owners, or
So in general, I would say that most people's processes are quite effective, but they aren't necessarily efficient. And I think that's where the software piece comes in. There's a reason why people haven't necessarily made their business more efficient, and it comes down to a series of beliefs. Beliefs around probably that it would be expensive to do, that it would be difficult to do. They may have been burned before by trying to implement software. Excuse me. It's very difficult to stay abreast of all of the software options in the market. So there's a bit of analysis paralysis, trying to decide what the best piece of software might be for their business. So there's lots of reasons why people probably haven't gone down the path of increasing efficiency. But really, all of those concerns can be and are normally mitigated, and just something as simple as a cost benefit analysis. Sitting down again, being clear and pragmatic in your thinking, and analyzing really what it's going to take to get that piece of software into your business. Once people see that, and once people implement it, and they're realizing the benefits of, you know, better work-life balance or better profitability or whatever it might be, increased scalability of their business, it's pretty clear that that software can make a huge impact, positive impact in businesses. And it's really just about trying to break it all down into manageable chunks, I would say.
I think that's a really interesting point you made about effective versus efficient, Rob, because I guess is that because are people focusing that because I've got the outcome I wanted, whether it's with production or something or an output to a customer, they're going, well, that's efficient. Is that what we're saying now? But it's not, it's an effective outcome, so, but they're mixing that with being efficient.
Yeah, look, lots of reasons, but yes, that's my experience. It can come down to not knowing that there's a better way, or those underlying beliefs of being reluctant to look too deeply into the alternate ways of doing business. I would say that a lot of, you know, businesses that have been going for a number of years with legacy infrastructure and systems, there is a tendency for business as usual, as per the name of this podcast, business isn't usual. Times are changing, and it's a good opportunity to sit back and really assess how the business is going and what the possibilities might be.
And I guess to just going back to one of your earlier the points there, Rod, is of you talked about kind of starting to think about how you would review a process. He's talked about sort of putting some post-it notes down. So if you've got business owners who are sitting at home and they know that the world they're going to go into, it's not going to be the same, or, you know, they've actually been able to deliver things differently, which maybe has got them thinking, hey, maybe there is a different way I can, you know, deliver my product or the service or whatever, you know, do you want to just elaborate with, like, how is a good way for a business owner to start mapping out or attack a process and thinking about where those bottlenecks are and where things could maybe move a bit faster?
Yeah, I come back to post-it notes and a big wall. And the benefit of the post-it notes is as you are writing the various steps up or whatever it might be, you can realize, actually, you know what, that single step ought to be broken into two or three, and so you can take it down, and it doesn't ruin the whole flow that you've put up. You can also move the post-it notes around and so on. But look, that's just the approach that I use. I think that, coming back to my earlier point, just being deliberate and trying to critically think about each step in the chain and how it could be have waste removed or be broken down or in some cases be linked into other steps as well is what I'd say.
Because I guess is that, like we talked about earlier, there's the whole point, I guess, with that process is how do I create more capacity for people to do more, or is it more, it's how do I get through something more efficiently through a process? So how, if someone's getting challenged by people in that process, Rod, how would you suggest people start to think differently about how maybe an employee's to not actually do their job, but how they handle that process to be more efficient? What's a good way when people are involved in that process?
From a stakeholder management perspective, you're saying implementing the technology and getting the employees on board?
Yeah, because I guess there's people, old habits die hard is kind of a saying for a reason, is the sense that there may be some employees in people's business that have been there a while. There's been processes that have been the way they've done things. And so they maybe are starting to go through this process you've talked about, Rod, of the post, and they start to see, hey, maybe we can do some things differently. So how will they, and I guess we are forced to change because of the environment, but how do you start to implement some of those changes when it comes to people?
Understood. I think taking people on the journey and demonstrating why it's more broadly a good thing for the business. I think one of the exciting things about software and what it can do for business is if it's taking on board the repetitive mundane tasks, data entry and combining pieces of data, whatever it might be, that's freeing up time for somebody who was otherwise doing it. And that can open up other opportunities for the individual. One of the things, like, software isn't good at innovating in and to itself, but it frees up time so people can. And I sort of have seen the argument and I agree with it, but it's probably not commonly held in the small business community that implementing software is a huge driver of both employee culture and the innovation aspect. Because say you've got a full-time employee and a third or a half or whatever it might be of their work is documenting the status of a particular job or doing admin tasks or whatever else, and you're relieving them of those tasks through the use of software, they are able to work on much more meaningful types of work. They'll come up with new opportunities for the business, new ways of working themselves. They're able to communicate with their colleagues better, potentially. All of those things create a better working environment. And as we know, workplace culture is a huge hot topic the last 5 years, at least 10 years, whatever it might be, and has always been a cornerstone of a successful business. And it's something that can be facilitated through the use of software taking up the mundane tasks.
And I think now is the time where, Rod, isn't it? We've been highlighted that people focusing on the things that are going to drive the businesses through and out of the situation we're in, and making sure they're driving, whether it's profitability, revenue growth, whatever's the focus of that business coming out of the lockdown, or making sure we navigate the next 12 to 24 months. I think that's a really important message, is making sure employees are doing high value activities and we're maximizing our workforce, because there is no two ways about it. People are cost, but what you want them to be is an investment that is actually driving your business forward. And I guess that message that software is a key of unlocking people's potential and time to add more value to your customers, to the business as a whole, is a really important thing. Because I thought your comment was interesting, that it's, the small business world might not see it that way, that software can in some way be seen as a bad thing, is kind of, I guess, where you were going with that, which I find fascinating. But maybe this is the opportunity that business owners see, well, hey, look, I've got to get the best out of my people.
Yeah, totally. Maybe I wasn't maybe I didn't frame it the right way. But, look, it does present huge opportunities, and as you say, people are expensive, and I find it interesting that frankly, that people balk at a software subscription cost that might be $50 a month for a seat, while they're happily paying, you know, $60,000-$70,000 for a person to do the same task. It's not quite that simple, obviously, but I think it's just a legacy mindset that people get the jobs done and software facilitates, when it's not necessarily the case anymore. I think anything you can do to better support and enable your employees to be able to leverage their unique talents for the success of the business is a good thing. So,
yeah, I agree. So we've obviously started to talk about technology and its ability to help and create some efficiencies and release, I guess, people's potential in some ways. But technology, it would be fair to say, Rod, has become a little bit of a minefield, i.e. there is a lot of choice for business owners, whether it's CRMs, whether it's video conferencing. Like, there's a lot of, doesn't matter what software tool you're looking at, there is a lot of choice. And then I guess there's the whole thing of how you sometimes bring that data together. Like, if someone's, I guess, because of COVID-19, been really challenged about their system, gone, okay, I really need to look a bit more about how I use cloud-based technology and stuff. But then they go online and there's just choice up the wazoo. What's the best way of starting to tackle the technology question based on the fact there is so many options out there in the marketplace?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's why I've started my business as well, to be able to help address that. There's also the accountant who might be able to help, and otherwise online is a place to search. It's quite overwhelming. I'm aware of that. There are a number of sites that aim to assist people in filtering through all the different options. Some of those are kind of Capterra and GetApp. You can look at other platforms like Xero and their app marketplace. I come back to that. The reason I started this business is to help people navigate through that, because there's just so many options, and there's a lot that goes on in most small businesses that is kind of universal, but there's a lot that's really specific to the success of that.
Yeah.
And trying to match up software that is able to deliver against the way you want and need to operate is a really important aspect. So currently I would say people turn to their accountant for advice on their accounting software. They turn to their marketing agencies potentially for advice on a CRM software or email automation or whatever it is. You've got all of these advisors around the business who are providing an opinion on the best software in their particular silo or vertical. I think it's important for the business owner to be able to have a bit more of a holistic view of their operations and really consider, okay, that's fine. Xero is the best accounting software according to various sources, and HubSpot is an appropriate CRM according to various sources. Do they really integrate particularly well? Does it work for the way that I conduct my business? And that's where there's a role for me to play in helping businesses go through that and actually link together the different software systems that will work for their needs. Because it could be that there's something that's a little bit probably not, you know, necessarily the number one in its specific vertical, but it plays a lot better with the other products that they're using.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess a nice final sort of part discussion point, Rod, to talk about is, you know, everyone's kind of reviewing their costs at the moment, their businesses. You know, what is a must have? What is a kind of something I can do without? And there's most businesses now, a good percentage will have some of software in place already, you know, whether it's Xero or whatever. But what is your advice on, hey, I've got to do a bit of review, I'm trying to save a bit of money here. What is the best way of people to make sure that they are paying for just what they need rather than, you know, for the all the bells and whistles stuff? What's a good way of starting that process without undoing what might be some good work of development of systems? And also, there is a danger, I think, And it'd be good to get your view on this. Some people might just go, well, that's a cost and I'll throw it out, not thinking that through. So how do people save some money in this area, but also do it in a really good way?
Yeah, so I'll preface this by saying that I'm talking specifically about off-the-shelf kind of SaaS products here as opposed to bespoke stuff, right? So having just spent the last 20 minutes sort of talking about the virtues of software, there are instances where you probably want to chop some out. And look, we provide a service and people can do this themselves. It's basically a SaaS, which is software as a service, a SaaS audit. A simple way that you can do it is dive into your accounting software, probably look at your chart of accounts, and you've probably got subscriptions or computer expenses or something, depending on where you've been coding it. Pull up the last 13 months worth of data and have a look at what you're being charged for. I say 13 months because some products or websites might have yearly subscriptions that automatically roll over. Otherwise, most of them will be on a monthly basis. Create a list of all of the software companies that are charging you. Drop it into a spreadsheet, and you basically just need to go through each of those line items and log into the product. And what you're looking to do, identify products that maybe you took on a 14-day free trial and you needed to enter your credit card details and you didn't realize, but it's tripped over and you're paying for it but not using it. So those ones, obviously, you get rid of. But even it might be that you're paying for a product that is a marketing tool, and at the moment you might have decided you're not marketing, so you could drop it or reduce the number of licenses, the number of seats that you're taking. What I would sort of recommend as a framework is the fat, muscle, bone framework, where you're kind of saying, you know, what's the fat that can go immediately and causes no harm to chop off at all? What's the muscle that potentially could be trimmed out now and it's going to cause a bit of harm to your business, but it can regenerate? And what's the bone which you really want to avoid chopping at all costs? So to that point, yeah, if you're finding subscriptions that you don't even use anymore and that's the fat, then just get rid of them. If there's muscle, then maybe it's a case of reducing the number of seats, or products often have tiers. Maybe you can drop down a tier or something like that for a while. Keep in mind that the software companies at the moment, their goal is to reduce their churn. They don't want to lose customers. They're happy to have customers downgrade or have delayed payment or whatever it might be. Speak with your individual providers. But going through that process, that's really, it's called SaaS management, and it's something that you should be doing either on an ongoing or periodic basis anyway.
Yeah, and I know we've been doing this in our own business, Rod, here at Rightway, just to make sure we're managing our costs like any good business should be at the moment. And one of the things we've done is looked at just making sure we've got the right seats for and the right levels of support and features that we need in each product, but also being pretty open with customers on payment terms, like some of the software providers on payment terms. And like you said, they are very open to looking at it. And like for some of ours, we've moved them from what was a yearly bill into, say, quarterly, which just, you know, it makes sense for us at the moment to look at those sort of things. So it's also, I think, the payment terms that you may have put in place. Now you don't want a big lumpy bill. You might want to just see if you can break that down into quarterly and monthly bills, depending on what levels you've got. And I think looking at the cash flow management of your apps can also be a big part of making sure you're managing that side well. I guess, yeah, Rod, like before we wrap up, is there any final comments?
Look, I think there's so much unknown, as everyone has acknowledged. I go into it with a positive mindset that if we can get through this 4 weeks, and then it's really an opportunity to try and come out of it better than we went in. It's an opportunity for reflection, and there's no doubt it's not easy, and it's not necessarily what we wanted, but it's the reality of it, and let's try and make it the best that we can.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Business Isn't Usual podcast by Rightway. If you want to find out more about Rightway, simply go to www.rightway.co.nz, or you can check out any of our social media channels. If you liked what you hear, please send us a review on the platform that you're listening to this podcast. And also make sure you subscribe for any future episodes.